We go to the Revel Wireless Hotline to bring in a great friend of mine and of this show. He is Alex Marvez from FoxSports.com. Alex, I want to talk about the Browns quarterback situation because it's just a topic that never goes away, and you can never get enough of this. I think that's kind of the tone here in Cleveland. And the biggest part of the story is the competition that Brandon Whedon is supposed to be facing. The addition of Brian Hoyer raised a lot of questions about whether this is really ramping things up. In truth, Hoyer's here to compete for a backup job, but I get the idea in general that the Browns hierarchy wants Brandon Whedon to feel that sense of urgency and pressure, and he's riding with it.
Yeah, you're right, and he has to. He has no choice. I mean, this is it for Brandon Whedon. I mean, you're talking about maybe even an NFL career here in terms of being a starter or potentially having to go to another team as a backup. And I'm not exaggerating when I tell you this. I can go back to the 2007-2008 Miami Dolphins and give you an example. 2007 Miami Dolphins were run by Cam Cameron as head coach and Randy Mueller as GM. They made an investment in John Beck as their quarterback. They used a second-round pick on him. Well, first year comes and goes. Everyone gets fired. John Beck gets inherited by Tony Sparano, Jeff Ireland, and Bill Parcells. They don't see anywhere near the same level of talent. They weren't big on the kid. Ends up John Beck getting railed out of Miami in a pretty quick fashion and never was able to really get any traction to his NFL career. Well, unfortunately for Brandon Whedon, he was drafted by an administration that all got fired. And now you have new people in. I think it's pretty obvious. Mike Lombardi's been on the record with all the shots that he took at Brandon Whedon around the 2012 draft. And it's obvious by signing a player like Brian Hoyer. To me, this is the type of sign that I know that on the surface they say, oh yeah, Brian Hoyer's competing for a backup spot. I don't necessarily look at it like this. I really look at it like they will have a very short hook with Brandon Whedon. And if Jason Campbell can get the job done, then Brian Hoyer is going to get his shot. And I say this because, Vic, you look around the league, and I can't think of any team off the top of my head that has two veteran backup quarterbacks. It's always a veteran quarterback as a backup in most cases, and then you have a young player that you're trying to develop. Why you would bring in a Brian Hoyer after you sign Jason Campbell to a contract that has some guaranteed cash in it? Well, that to me speaks volumes more about Brandon Whedon than it does about Jason Campbell.
Well, let's talk about Hoyer then and what he brings to the table. He's a Cleveland guy, a Michigan State guy, but hasn't really, for the years that he's been in the league, hasn't really had much time on the field. So what are the qualities that you think, if he is in the mix to go with your line about a short hook to get in there, what would he bring?
That's a great question, because how much Brian Hoyer have I seen? But I was very surprised when they went ahead and released him last offseason. I was more surprised that no team signed Brian Hoyer until the Arizona Cardinals in December. So clearly, some people out there think there is a flaw in his game. But I will tell you this. Mike Lombardi knows Bill Belichick, knows him well, worked for him. I am assuming here, which can make an ass out of you and me, as we know, Vic, but the reality is that I really believe that in this case, Mike Lombardi may just have talked to Bill, said, look, what are this guy's skills? Sets, what can he do well, and maybe got a real glowing report about that. And you know, the good thing for the Browns, it didn't cost any draft picks, because there was talk about a potential draft trade of the Arizona Cardinals potentially trying to move Brian Hoyer to the Cleveland Browns around draft time. And you also obviously heard the talk about Ryan Mallett as well. Right. So at least in this case, it's a two-year contract. I'm sure it's not breaking the bank for the Browns with the money that they're paying Brian Hoyer, but there's something that the Browns' new administration has seen in Brian Hoyer that makes them believe that he can be a competitive player for them.
Yeah, I think you're right, too, about the references he received, the good praise that was there from people like a Bill Belichick. I mean, people who had him on their teams, and our colleague at SiriusXM NFL Radio, Jim Miller, talking glowingly about him. Obviously, he's got that Spartan bias, that Michigan State bias toward him, but he does know of him very well. And then, someone who knows others around the league and has some pretty good perspective. So Jim thinks this guy also is an asset, even if he doesn't have to see the field that often, just having him on your team. And I think at the minimum, that's probably the good news here for the Browns, Alex, is that you've got that depth.
Right, but you know, I just can't figure out a couple things. You know, this guy doesn't have the strongest of arms. And when we look at Norv Turner quarterbacks, what does he really want to see in a guy? He'd love to be able to throw the football downfield. I can't tell you that Brian Hoyer is a great downfield passer. So I wonder here if there's a disconnect between what the front office wants in a quarterback and what the coaching staff wants in a quarterback. Not trying to cause controversy for your organization, Vic, but I do wonder, because on the surface, that doesn't make a whole heck of a lot of sense, what type of system Brian Hoyer would fit in. I always looked at him as a guy that was a pretty good intermediate passer, a guy who, you know, was going to run maybe a West Coast-style quarterback more than anything else. else. And I know that in Norv Turner's case, loved to get the football downfield, and I think that's a strength for Brian for Brandon Whedon. I really do. I think that Brandon can throw a nice deep pass. I think that you have the wide receiver now in Josh Gordon who can get deep. Maybe Travis Benjamin goes ahead and makes an impact as a deep threat. I know Norv wants to get the ball in the air. That's what I'm not real sure Brian Hoyer does. I also question the wisdom of not investing in a rookie quarterback rather than a player like Brian Hoyer that's already been around for 4 years. Again, if you've signed a veteran player like Jason Campbell, why do you need another veteran around? I think, again, this speaks more to how little faith the Cleveland Browns' new management has in Brandon Whedon than it does anything about Brian Hoyer.
All right, well, we'll see how it all plays out. I don't think added experience is necessarily the worst thing in the world. I hear your points about how he might not fit exactly in the way Norv Turner, Rob Gronkowski run this offense, but I do think for the change-up factor, maybe you're weighing experience versus the skill set that he has and how perfect a fit that is. And if you're looking at a guy who can get you through some games if need be, depending on how it goes down and how this competition plays out. And that's the other thing is, Alex, is I want to see how this offseason, preseason go with Hoyer here, with Campbell here, because maybe it also speaks to possibly what this team thinks about Campbell too. I mean, you don't really know. Yeah, he's got 71 starts, but you don't entirely know his fit in what they're doing here.
We'll see, but then that's scary. Then why sign him in the first place, right? I mean, that to me is what's so troublesome about this.
But in this league, don't you have those question marks with a lot of people at quarterback? I don't know that there are teams that have that position now.
No, I understand where you're coming from, but I mean, my thing is that if it's Campbell 2, Hoyer 3, okay, I get it. Would the investment have been better in a rookie quarterback that may have more upside, that may have a bigger arm, that just doesn't have the experience going forward, something for the future? It's a good question. I don't have the answer to that. I also can't look into the crystal ball and tell you in 2014, if the Browns have a high draft pick, that they're not going to take a quarterback there and start anew from that standpoint. You're right. This may just be a one-and-done type situation for many of these quarterbacks. Maybe two of the three guys aren't on the roster next year, realistically. I mean, we got to figure that out as well. And you made a great point, too, about the OTA sessions, about the preseason. I want to see how these reps are split up. Is it going to be Brandon Whedon getting them? And if he's getting the majority of the reps, and Vic, as a second-year quarterback learning a new offense, I think it's imperative for Brandon Whedon to get the bulk of the reps. Well, then what does that leave for Jason Campbell? What does that leave for Brian Hoyer going forward? I mean, that one is a curious thing to me as well, how exactly this whole thing is going to be getting split up by the Browns coaching staff.
Alex Marvez from FoxSports.com is joining us on the Revel Wireless Hotline on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. You bring up so many good points about this situation and how it reflects on Brandon Whedon. Let's talk about it from this perspective. Whedon sees all this going on. Here's the questions about the competition and how does it make him feel? What is he going to do about it, really, in the sense of, okay, they're here, and do you feel trepidation, anxiety, all those things? He says it hasn't changed his approach. I really like that answer, and I like this answer. He says you can't look over your shoulder all the time. At this position, you've got to take the approach that, hey, this is my job, and I'm confident, and I believe in it. And I believe he's sincere about this. I know these are just words, Alex, but you just when you look at the guy and you see in his eyes how he's describing it, it's what I want to hear from Brandon Whedon, whether or not he can actually make this work for himself. The attitude is a key thing here.
You're so right about that, and that's one of the ways that you actually benefit from having a guy who I believe is, what, 30 years old now?
He will be 30 by, like, October. Yeah.
Right, so as a second-year player, because he's been in professional sports before. He knows it from his baseball background. He understands the business element of it. Rather than get his feelings ruffled, he knows that he controls his destiny. This is the whole thing with Mark Sanchez last year that Mark didn't take advantage of with the New York Jets. You didn't have to worry about a Tim Tebow. You didn't have to worry about all that stuff if you just went out and did your job. That's what Brandon Whedon has to worry about. And you know what? If you're not Mike Lombardi's cup of tea, well, guess what? Go ahead, prove that you're a good quarterback. Someone else is going to want you, and you may have a chance to go somewhere else. Don't eliminate yourself by getting so wrapped up in all the quarterback hype and controversy and the media talk that's stemming from this that you forget to do your job. And I think Brandon Whedon, you know, at least in his words, is prepared to go ahead and do just that. Just compete, worry about himself now, and let the chips fall where they may.
These are only OTA workouts, so very limited discussion as far as what you take away that means something, but Devon Best really seems like a spark plug. I'm watching this guy out there in the short amount of time that he's practiced this past week, and of course we're going to see more OTAs this week and next week on the field, Alex. He is just getting open consistently and catching everything that comes his way.
Yep, he is such a great addition to this Cleveland Browns wide receiver core. Absolutely an outstanding pickup by the Cleveland Browns. Look, he's not the fastest guy, okay? I get that. But you know what? He runs very precise routes. He is great in the slot. And you're right, he's so reliable. I mean, that's one of the great things about Devon Best. He's not dropping balls. Now, one of the surprises to me is why he didn't fit in with this Miami Dolphins offensive system. I mean, it wasn't like they were so rich in talent at wide receiver last year that this guy couldn't have put up better numbers. I'm not sure if he just wasn't a system fit. Maybe he didn't hit it off with the coaches. Maybe the coaches had a poor perception of him. I understand that in December they got sour on Devon Best because he had suffered an injury and it wasn't coming back on the field very quickly, and there were some questions about how much he was efforting to get back on the field, which I think is really unfair, but that's some of the behind-the-scenes talk about Devon Best. But I think this was a great move for the Cleveland Browns. I mean, look, I'm tired of Greg Little dropping passes. I really am. I hope the young man is able to hold on to the football, but you know, you need to have reliable people. Josh Gordon, you know he's reliable. Now Devon Best, he is going to become a great friend of Brandon Weeden or whoever it is under quarterback that's coming in to play. I just think it was an outstanding pickup. And a guy who's been there and done that too, had a great veteran presence to your locker room. I love that acquisition.
You brought up Little, and you brought up basically the youth of this receiving core. Do you see Bess's presence, because it seems like he's taking to this leadership role right away and imparting his knowledge on these younger guys, just from what you can gather. But your experiences being around him and knowing that Dolphin team that he was on, can he really be the guy that, say, helps a guy like Greg Little become more consistent with his hands?
He can offer tips. I mean, it's going to ultimately be on Greg, right? I mean, it's because it's physically he has all the skill in the world. I mean, it's just a matter of concentration and things like that. And, you know, maybe there are some tips that he'll see something and he'll pass them along. I think that that's what Devon wants to do. You know, and remember, this is a guy who's always been very humble about his NFL success. He was not drafted, despite a great college career at the University of Hawaii. And the reason he wasn't drafted, he didn't run well at the combine. People thought he was too slow. He's got football speed. So that's the thing about Devon, and I think that he will try to help those around him. I mean, from all indications, he's been a great teammate. I just think that in South Florida, they want, you know, again, you see the sea change that happens, and Vic, it's so common up in Cleveland as well. Fans have seen it through the years. You get new people in. They look at the talent that they're inheriting differently. I mean, the Dolphins made this huge investment in the wide receiver position with Mike Wallace, with Brandon Gibson. Something had to go. They had re-signed Brian Hartline to a big money contract. I mean, those are three highly paid wide receivers right there. Devon Best had become a fourth option for them, not to mention the fact that the Dolphins signed a Dustin Keller. So he became available. It was just a great marriage between those two. And trust me, the guy will do a great job.
Well, you've done a great job, and you always do. We appreciate you taking the time for us, Alex.
Hey, thanks, Vic.
He is Alex Marvez from FoxSports.com. He joins us on the Revel Wireless Hotline right here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. And we have got much more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.